Perched high on a mountain in the Cairngorms, the scientists of the Mount McKibber Observatory guard us against alien invasion. Their mission: to watch the skies. Episode 3, Attack of the Zomboyos, Part 2.
Okay, Prof, you're clear on the plan? You're a deaf mute and I have amnesia. It's the only way we'll get through this.
Stinger, if I've learned one thing in a long and colourful life, it's that the only way to handle your fears is to face them head on.
That's precisely what my Uncle Neville thought, and then the tank rolled right over him.
Ah! Is this the Douglas I see before me?
Oh, hello, Dad. Hello, Mum.
Project, boy! Project! How will they hear you up in the balcony?
Ah, you must be...
The parents, indeed. We have that honour. And you, sir, must be the master of this citadel, Lord of Mount Caledon, Prospero, Arch-Wizard of the Magic Isle.
Yes, that's exactly right. Professor Hadrian Sprout.
Randolph Beesbum, tragedian, and my dear wife.
Calpurnia Beesbum.
Look, what are you two doing here?
Dear boy, we have come to rescue you from the lure of the sextant and the pocket calculator.
Yes, we are here to offer you our guidance and support.
Support? You've never supported me. When I played the second shepherd in the school nativity play, you booed me.
Your performance was substandard, not worthy of a Beesbum.
It's not too late to embrace your true destiny, Douglas. The stage still beckons to you.
The gesture the stage is making at me is not beckoning.
Actually, young Stinger performs a number of useful functions here at Mount McKibber. Just give me a minute to think of one. Maybe 2 or 3 minutes.
Poppycock! His future lies in the theatre.
No, it doesn't!
Randolph! Perhaps he requires a draught of poetic nectar to revive his lost muse.
Of course! An extract from our current touring show, Two Beesbums on the Bard.
No. Please, no.
Yes, my love! Let the boy drink deep of the true Aeolian spring.
Shall I go and put the kettle on?
Be seated, O watcher of the starry realm. A banquet of delights is being spread before you.
To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether it is hobbled in the mind.
Noblier, noblier, my love.
Yes, of course, noblier in the mind to suffer the slingbacks of outrageous fortune and, propped.
Shakespeare must be turning in his grave.
Much more of this and I'll be in the grave with him.
Watch the skies.
That was exhilarating. I always get quite flushed after doing a dashing white sergeant.
Annabelle, please!
Daisy, you can't be having much fun standing here in the corner by yourself.
Annabelle, would you believe that one of those young farmers just asked me to join him in an eightsome? What sort of depravity have we stumbled into?
It's just a dance, Daisy. Do try to loosen up.
I am feeling a bit giddy, actually. It must be this punch.
It's not really a punch. It's just a tub of iron brew with some turnips floating in it.
Whatever it is, it's quite potent.
Oh dear, here comes Mrs. McNulty with a tray of pies.
Oh, hello, Maribel. We've not seen you down here in a wee while.
It's Annabelle.
But it'll probably rain later. And who's your wee friend?
This is Daisy. It's her first Kaylee.
Poppy, actually,
Dr. Poppy Zeitgeist.
Would either of you care for a leek pie? They're freshly baked and delicious.
They seem to have an eerie green glow about them.
That's the goodness in them. Go on, try one, Dr. Zeitgeist. You look like you could do with a wee bit of feeding up. As we say round here, if there's fat in the heifer, then there's fire in the bull.
I think we'll pass on the pies, if you don't mind, and the incendiary bull.
Well, there's plenty of them and you should get peckish. Very nice to see you again, Mirabelle.
Did you hear that, Daisy? That awful woman always gets my name wrong. It's absolutely infuriating.
Annabelle, those pies...
Well, they're off, if you ask me. Probably weeks past the sell-by date.
But Mrs. McNulty said they were freshly baked.
You can't believe a word she says. She's completely gaga. Mirabelle, indeed. Look, she's scoffing one of them now.
Either this Highland punch is affecting my eyesight, or the people who have eaten the pies have all turned green. Those leeks must be from the Professor's garden.
I think you're onto something, Daisy. How did the old bat get her hands on them? Hang on, she's coming back.
Oh dear, she's turned bright green.
Have a pie, boyo. There's lovely.
I'd rather not, if you don't mind. I'm on a low radiation diet.
Have a pie, boyo. There's lovely.
Have a pie, boyo. There's lovely.
Annabelle, I don't think I like these Highland Kayleys.
I warned you the conversation would be dull.
Watch the skies.
What a piece of cake is a man! How fulsome in raisins!
Sultanas, I think.
Precisely. In action so like an Anglican, in apprehension so like a goat.
Sheep, my love, sheep!
The bounty of the world, the peppering of animals, and yet, tell me, what is the culmination of all this dust? Man delights nobody. No, nor does age delight a woman, though smiling and smiling makes him a villain.
Stinger, I fear I have lost the will to exist.
I feel the same way, Prof. Do you think they'd let us do a tombstone into the Large Hadron Collider?
Blessed oblivion.
Which reminds me of a rather amusing incident that occurred while I was treading the boards at the Tivoli Theatre, Skegness. It was a production of Julius Caesar, and Larry Olivier was Cassius to my Brutus.
It was Bognor Regis, my sweet plum. And you were Cassius.
Oh, I beg to differ, O sparkle of my eye. There is no Tivoli Theatre in Bognor Regis. It was demolished in 1961 to make way for a multi-storey car park.
The performance took place in the Queen's Theatre, and Gielgud played Brutus.
If I may correct you, my dove, Gielgud played Mighty Caesar, and Olivier...
Olivier was in a rival production of She Stoops to Conquer at the Curtain in Balfour Street.
Balfour Street? There is no Balfour Street in Bognor. Your memory is straight to Stockton on Tees.
I feel my molecular bonds dissolving, Stinger. I'm only minutes away from self-immolation.
Just you hang on, Prof. They're so busy arguing, they probably won't notice if we sneak out the back. Come on, let's go.
By the bun braids of Brunhill, that's a relief. But where shall we go?
Well, the girls have gone to that Cayley in the village. We should, you know, go after them and, like, make sure they're safe. You know, from all those farmers. Poppy's not used to the wildlife.
Excellent suggestion, Stinger. It's been quite some time since I last stripped the willow.
Steady on, Prof. It's not that sort of party.
Watch the skies.
Annabelle, I don't know how much longer I can keep up playing this accordion. I barely made it past grade 7 on the piano.
Look, as long as you keep playing that accordion and I keep up this fiddling, those Welsh horrors will go on dancing instead of trying to force feed us pies.
Oh, if only the band hadn't eaten the leeks.
Oh, you know what musicians are like. As soon as the sausage rolls ran out, they were all over the pies.
I'm sorry, Annabelle. I'm getting blisters on my fingers.
All right, Daisy. What do you say we ditch the instruments and make a run for it?
Oh, I'm not sure I can run very far, Annabelle. I'm exhausted and it's hours past my bedtime.
Daisy, it's only 10 o'clock.
Exactly. Oh, look, there's the professor and Stinger coming through the front door.
That settles it. Get ready to run.
Not much of a party, is it, Prof? The music's pretty enough.
There's something dashed queer going on, young Stinger. Did you notice all the villagers have turned green?
Probably that tub of ironry. They're always glugging the stuff down.
Ah, look! Annabelle and Dr. Zeitgeist are rushing towards us with some alacrity.
Have a pie, boyo. There's lovely.
Ooh, thanks, Mrs. M. Don't mind if I do. That's pretty good.
Stinger, no!
Why did you knock that pie out of my hand, Poppy? I was enjoying that.
Well, for heaven's sake, Doogie, can't you see what the pies have done to these people?
Have a pie, boyo.
Have a pie, boyo. Here's lovely, boyo. Have a pie, boyo.
They haven't all been watching Zulu, have they? I was singing Men of Harlech for weeks after I first saw it.
No, it's the leek pies. Everybody's been eating them.
Tasted fine to me. There's lovely.
Snap out of it, Doogie.
Ow! What happened there?
You started to turn Welsh. It's the pies. Good thing you didn't eat a whole one.
Gentlemen, I suggest a strategic withdrawal.
No use, Prof. They've gotten between us and the door.
Come on, this way. Into the ladies.
If we prop this mop handle against the door, that should hold them for a while.
Annabelle, what are you doing?
I'm fixing my makeup, of course. What do you think we came in here for? Move aside, please, Daisy. You're blocking the mirror.
Professor, what on earth is going on? What's happened to these people?
Well, this is just a stab in the dark, but I theorise that the meteor we discovered contained an alien intelligence that was released when the rock crumbled. It took up residence in the leaks, thus demonstrating its ability to occupy multiple hosts simultaneously.
Ooh, you're onto something there, isn't it, boyo?
Doogie, look at what I have in my hand.
Oh, there's lovely. Ow! Sorry about that.
Carry on, Professor.
Well, anyone consuming a leek pie becomes a fresh host for the entity, intent on spreading its alien consciousness by compelling others to consume a pie also. They have ceased to be individuals and have become part of a hive mind.
So, Professor, you're saying the villagers have turned into mindless drones with no separate will of their own.
Try and spot the difference, I say.
Indeed. A similar fate awaits us should we be forced to consume Mrs. McNulty's irradiated pastry products.
Look, they're going to be through that door in any minute. I say we hop it.
Yes, we should be able to squeeze through that window at the back and make a run for the Institute.
Run? In these heels?
Would you rather stay here and join the Tom Jones fan club?
Well, when you put it that way...
There's lovely.
Watch the skies.
Are they still chasing after us?
Oh, yes. I really shouldn't have worn that Chanel Allure perfume.
Right, everybody, inside, quickly.
Oh, thank goodness. Back in the Institute at last.
Yes, we shall be safe as houses within these sturdy walls.
I don't think so, Prof. The zombies are swarming across the lawn, pies in hand. And there's nothing we can do to stop them.
Well, we could try shutting the door.
My hot headstand. We're too late. Mrs. McNulty has her foot in the door. Oh, my. But she's a powerful woman.
Have a pie, boyo. Go on. There's
Stinger, lend a hand. There's a good chap.
But she's halfway through the door.
Don't shilly-shally, man. Get your shoulder into it. Let fortitude be your byword.
Stinger, where are your pimps?
Bit busy right now, Poppy.
I think I can hear them arguing in Hadrian's office. Let me just check.
No, 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 my angel. I think you err in this matter. It was definitely not the King's Theatre in Aberdeen, and it certainly was Michael Caine who was the understudy.
Do you suppose that Michael Caine ever toured the provinces is pure delusion, my sweet pumpkin?
They're coming through the windows now.
Damn! How I wish I hadn't taken up the bars to forge the ruined sword of Sigurd.
They're coming at us from all sides. It's like the boxing gates say in Harrods.
The door's giving way.
Have a bye.
I suppose there isn't time to jury-rig a force field.
Too late for that, Dr. Zeitgeist. Asgard has fallen.
What now, Hadrian?
Retreat, everyone. Up the stairs, quickly. We must take refuge with Ron in the dome.
But what about the bees bums?
There's no time. Besides, a few of those pies might shut them up.
Enough talk. Fly, you fools.
Here we are, Professor. But if Ron's not opened this door in 20 years, how do we get him to let us in?
I shall make an appeal to our common humanity.
Assuming he is human, Prof. I mean, nobody's ever set eyes on him.
Perhaps he just has problems with his body image, Doogie. You know, lots of unattractive people keep themselves shut away from society. Good thing too, in my opinion.
Annabelle? He might hear you.
Hush, everyone. Let me try to get through to him. Ron? Ron, if you can hear me, we have a bit of an emergency here. You know, meteorites, glowing pies, alien hive minds. You get the picture, Ron? Ron, are you there? Ron?
Oh, I feel like somebody's tightened the screws in my brain.
Oh, yes, I can feel a tension headache coming on.
Of course. Ron told me he was experimenting with mental telepathy. Damned dangerous, if you ask me.
Professor, I feel like there's a balloon blowing up in my head.
Steady, everyone. Concentrate. He's trying to communicate an idea to us.
Aye, what it is he's saying, that Shirley Bassey is way better than Petula Clark. Look you!
No, Doogie!
Clearly he's saying that only L'Oreal can save us now. So let surgery wait.
Actually, Annabelle, I'm quite sure he's saying that if we were all bunny rabbits, we could all live together in a brightly painted hutch and never be lonely again.
No, stop it, Ron. This isn't helping us at all. Damn it, man. Stop planting ideas in my head. No, we will not install a jacuzzi in the dome. We need to focus on how to stop the zombies. Oh, I think he's broken off contact.
Hadrian, where are the zombies?
What?
They're not actually following us.
What could have delayed them? What's down there that could stop those shambling automata?
There's nobody down there but...
Mum and Dad!
All right, back downstairs, but cautiously, mind.
I recall how I chimed in Henry the 12th, part 3. Once more, unto the beat of bread, once more!
Are your parents putting on a show for the zombies?
I think they've finally found their proper audience. I've never seen them so inspired.
The zombies seem quite transfixed.
Zonked out, if you ask me.
It's the effect they have on all of us. But the zombies lack the will to resist.
By sleep, we end the heartburn and the thousand natural snacks the flesh is heir to. It is a constipation profoundly to be wished. Thank you. Thank you. And now, my dear wife, Calpurnia, will adopt the persona of Portia from The Merchant of Dennis.
The quantity of mercy is not strange.
A sponge, my love. It is a sponge, I believe.
It falleth as a gentle ram upon a plate of beef.
Mutton? I'm quite sure it is mutton. My love. The audience has fallen into a swoon.
We have achieved such a pentacle of artistry at last, my darling. 'Tis the apothecariosis of our craft.
Indeed, my beloved. And while we are thus perspired by the muse, we must away and book the church hall in Ochterfecken for an extended run.
Yes, yes, we shall pour the bard's sweet effluence upon the unlittered masses.
And so, we bid a fond farewell to your worships.
Fair scientists, we give you our good marrow.
What just happened?
I suspect that, faced with the worst acting since the heyday of Crossroads, the entity has escaped by willing itself out of existence, much as I was tempted to do earlier.
But the villagers, they're not dead, are they? Let's find out. I'll give Mrs. McNulty a kick.
No need for that, Annabel. See the rising and falling of the bosoms. Life yet animates these poor villagers. No doubt in time they will awaken with little more than an annoying headache and only the dimmest memory of what transpired this night.
So, a typical Sunday morning then, pretty much as you like it.
Yes, it'll be like they've just woken up from a Midsummer Night's Dream.
Well, if you ask me, it's all been much ado about nothing.
The important thing is, all's well that ends well.
Yeah, just like the Taming of the Shrew, eh?
Oh, Stinger, why did you have to go and spoil it?
With a hey, nonny, nonny, and a nonny, nonny, no.
Watch the Skies is a Quantum Fridge production, written, produced, and ineptly directed by Bob Harris and Alan McFadgen, and brought to life by the Peak Performance Players with Claire Fulton as Poppy Zeitgeist, Al Reeve as Doug Stinger, Laura Stewart as Annabel Fox, Chris McLaughlin as Professor Sprout, John Mitchell as Randolph Beesbum, Jane Field as Calpurnia Beesbum. Other voices and background distractions were provided by whatever hangers-on weren't looking busy at the time. This episode was recorded at Sunny Bray Studios, Lucas Fife, and lovingly engineered by AJ Harris. The Watch the Skies theme song is performed by the Shrugs. No actors were harmed in the making of this episode. Well, not unless they deserved it. Aliens are coming, aliens are coming, aliens are coming. Aliens are coming, aliens are coming, aliens are coming. Watch the skies.
Where's my focus?